Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that shape, challenge, and sometimes disrupt our daily lives. Today, we dive into the colorful world of crushes. Children's author and illustrator Brianna Dawes and co-author Adriana Rush have a playful, fully illustrated humor and recipe cookbook that explains different types of crushes by comparing them to milkshake flavors. We'll talk about preteen feelings, creativity, the power of humor, and how this book helps kids understand their hearts. Designed for kids age 18 to 14, the Crush Dictionary and Recipe Book gives us a feel of how kids are going through their changes and feelings, and we are certainly there to help them understand with the corresponding recipe for their crush. It is a delightful book. I enjoyed it immensely. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and again, I'd like to welcome Brianna Dawes and Adriana Rush.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. What inspired you to compare crushes to milkshakes?
Yeah, so this book is really a nod to my teenage experience. So like a lot of teens, I know that when I was maybe 12 or 13 years old, really in that early teen age, everything felt so personal and private, especially when it came to your romantic feelings, because for a lot of teens, you haven't had any real relationships yet. You're really just going through that process of learning what it is to have romantic feelings and discovering your identity there. So the preteen experience, it's very secretive, and everything feels like it needs to be discussed confidentially with your friends. So when I was a teen, I know my friends and I used to use a lot of code words when we talked about our crushes, you know, like we acted almost like we were in the CIA, like those levels of secrecy. Everything just had to be so like confidential. And the idea of someone finding out was just world ending. It's just such a delicate point in your life. So I remember back when I was a teenager, my friends and I used to talk about how there are so many different types of crushes. Like, not every crush experience is the same. So one person can have a crush on two people at the same time, or you can have a crush on someone who doesn't like you back, and that's super different than having a crush on someone who you're best friends with, and, you know, so on and so on. There's so many different crush feelings you can be having. So we used to say, like, there's different flavors of crushes, like so-and-so has a vanilla crush, a strawberry crush, a chocolate crush. And, you know, so many years later, I was remembering that phase in my life, and it kind of took off and turned into this more elaborate idea of what if there was a whole dictionary of crushes and they all had a complementary flavor. And then from there, it turned into like 50% dictionary, 50% recipe book.
Well, it is really delightful. I mean, I can applaud you for it. I think it's very cute. Why do you think this metaphor resonates so quickly with kids? I mean, it resonated with me. It was cute as could be. But I think that with kids, it's going to really, really, you know, hit the spot. Have you had any feedback about it? And then why do you think it is having the impact it is?
Yeah, that's a great question. So back when I first had the idea, it was actually an idea that I had back in 2015. And at that time, I hadn't ramped the book up to what it is today. I just illustrated like a very rough version of what the book is today. And I remember I posted a snippet of it on Tumblr. And at that time, you know, I would post my art online all the time, but I had no levels of engagement. If I was lucky, maybe one or two people might comment on something I made. But when I posted this idea of a crush dictionary and different types of crushes that all have a complimentary flavor, almost overnight, about 1,000 people were commenting and sharing and saying, I need this. I relate to this. I have a chocolate crush. I have a banana split crush or what have you. And so I thought, oh, okay. So this isn't just something specific to my teen experience. This is something that a lot of people really resonate with. So that got me thinking, like, okay, maybe this would make like a really fun book idea.
Well, you, both of you, I guess, had to have a love for baking and sweets and desserts, right? I mean, and to be able to use this, the desserts and the baking as this metaphor.
You know, I don't consider myself, oh, sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say, Adriana, I don't consider myself a culinary artist by any means. And that's why I identified my friend Adriana as like a perfect co-contributor to the book, because Adriana is like one of the most talented bakers I've ever met. So she would definitely be able to answer this question better.
Adriana.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think like bringing in the food element is like a big part of what makes the book so like fun and special for kids, and like especially milkshakes. What we really love is the idea that, you know, we pictured like a girl sleepover, right? And they're all getting together and they're making a milkshake, they're finding a way to express themselves. I think that's like a really cool thing about this book, is it gives kids and teens and even like adults a really fun way to express their feelings, which can be really confusing, and like we all kind of want to find something we relate to, and so with the flavors matching like the different types of crushes, I think that's like another element that makes the book like extra whimsical and really fun. Like a lot of the flavors are lined up with like the type of crush that you might have. So like a lemon bar crush, it's kind of sour, right? There's right. something there that's like has a tang to it, and that lines up perfectly with the crush type. So we put a lot of effort into making sure like the flavors really evoke and match with the feelings. And so when you read the crush definition and then look at the milkshake recipe, you're like, oh, okay, like that makes sense. And it kind of adds like this sensory experience to like the feelings of the crush that you have, which we think is really cool.
Well, how does humor help preteens talk about awkward or confusing feelings? From your perspective, how does humor? Because I there's a lot of humor in it.
Oh, absolutely. I think the book is meant to be very, very playful. Mm-hmm. And I really like that because, you know, when you're having a crush, it's not always a pleasant feeling. When you have a crush on someone who, you know, they ask somebody else to the dance, or you find out they like somebody else, it's devastating. Especially, I mean, when you're an adult, that sort of thing is devastating, but especially when that's very new for you and you're very young. So this book really normalizes that. And when you can laugh about it with your friends and realize like, hey, like different types of crush feelings, like it's all normal. It's all very universally human. And there's a lot of like playful puns that we tie into the book, like Adriana identified, like when you have a crush on somebody you met at a summer camp, it's a s'mores crush. So to be able to like laugh about your feelings, like to find the words for it and then to laugh about it, I think it just makes it feel more accessible to talk about.
Well, there certainly are a mix of different feelings that are stirring around with these crushes. Have you found that there's any particular crush flavor that kids tend to relate to the most?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think, I mean, speaking for myself, I know I've probably had like every crush in the book at some point in time. So the reactions I've gotten from people, it really surprises me, the ones that people really latch on to. It's often different than the ones that like stand out to me. And I think that kind of just goes to show like the range of experiences someone have. Like, I don't know if you, Adriana, immediately have flavors that stand out to you as like, oh, this is super relatable. I know I was in this boat for a long time.
Yeah, I think one of the things I really loved about making this book with Brianna is actually as we went through and worked on each recipe, we would share a story about like that crush. And so we both managed to have a story about every single crush type in this book. And that was like a really fun way for us like go back and revisit our crushes and like kind of tap into like our girlhood memories as we were building the book. I would say for me, the cherry crush really stands out. That's when you have a crush on whoever's like in closest proximity to you. And that really evoked like the seating arrangements in elementary school and how you like switch tables. And I would just always have a crush on like whatever guy I was sitting next to at the time. So I personally like really love that one.
Did you all try, excuse me, just let me throw this in here. Did you try out each milkshake that you recommended?
Oh, yeah. We were doing like late night grocery store runs, taste testing milkshakes late into the night. And any friends who were just like bystanders, it was like, hey, we made a pina colada milkshake. Can you try it? How does it taste? So, yeah, we had a lot of milkshakes in the past 2 years.
Well, I just think about it, and again, it was, you know, it's timely. I mean, it definitely conveys, I think, what you were trying to say, and it connects. Can we talk about, just briefly before we take a break, you know, just some of the most common types of crushes that folks experience? I mean, like, the butterflies, you know, butterflies are a typical crush, you know, where it's kind of fizzy and it's an exciting feeling and the heart beats, you know, and you overthink everything that you see and say. Did you experience that kind of thing? And what would be the corresponding milkshake for that?
Yeah, so I'd be happy to read just a short excerpt from the book.
Okay.
The very first crush in the book just kind of identifies a crush like what you described, kind of the most basic crush experience someone might have. We call it a vanilla crush. So okay. Vanilla crush, noun, a significant crush on one person in particular. You do not know whether or not the crush is reciprocated. The most classic crush experience. You know the feeling, plain and sweet, like a spoonful of vanilla ice cream. You like them a lot. And you can't think of anything sweeter than the dream of them liking you too.
That is so cute. And that hits it. That hits it. There are a couple of others that I'd like to have us explore because I think even for the listening audience, you know, the adults who have moved on, it puts a smile on their face when they look at this or they hear the book and they have to go back and think, oh, yeah, reminisce about the crushes. Admiration. Is there one that would be correspond to that admiration, which it's not romantic at all? It's drawn to someone's kind of talent and their kindness and their confidence and or brilliance. And the person is sort of warm for you to be around them because they inspire you. Now, I'm going to take a brief break so you can think about it. But when we come back, we will talk about the admiration crush. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this edition of 411 Teen is looking at young crushes. Just tuning in. The program is 411 Teen, and I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and today I am talking with the authors of the Crush Dictionary and Recipe Book, a collection of crush-inspired definitions and milkshake recipes for teens. Did you all have any comments that you wanted to make on the admiration crush?
You know, there isn't specifically a crush about admiring someone, but mm-hmm. we do have a crush that's like, we call it a strawberry crush, which is like a soft blush of a feeling. And it's like a small crush that's more of a fondness. Maybe if you feel like you admire someone or you feel attracted to them, but you don't necessarily have like an obsessive romantic feeling, like those jittery butterflies. So a strawberry crush is a crush that always brings a smile to your face with a simple sweetness, free of grandiose romantic feelings and expectations. Playful flirtations with a small crush bring a gentle pop of color to your day.
Okay. I mean, that. How did you all collaborate the crushes and the milkshakes? I mean, it seems you got it down perfect. But how did you do that?
Do you want to go first, Adriana?
Yeah, I think we started off actually by making a list of flavors that we thought would be really great, like really great milkshake flavors. So, I drew on my love of baking and food to come up with flavors that I thought would be really interesting and also like fun for kids to make. And then we started matching that up with different types of crushes. So we kind of had two lists and then we started like putting them together. And we came up with some really interesting ones. I'd like to share this one. It's one of
Okay.
my personal favorites. It's a cereal crush. It's a crush where two people like each other but are not dating yet. So this feeling is certainly the start of something as exciting as waking up to a colorful bowl of your favorite cereal. While you might not be an official couple, feelings are pretty serious between you two. And so like some of it came from like the puns, right? Like how
A
people
lot
like
of puns.
do a pun between cereal and cereal, like that's gonna be really cute. And like I think that gave us a lot of creative flexibility when we matched them together, to create like an ultimate, like a lot of really unique, fun, like flavor combinations that really define this book.
Yeah, we definitely tried our best for every single one to think of like a fun pun that we could throw in the book because who doesn't love a good pun? Like one of my favorite puns is if you have a crush on two people at once, it's a banana split crush. And I just feel like that's
I like
just,
that one.
I threw it on the back cover of the book because that's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, it's cute. Well, crushes are complicated because they touch different emotional layers, like, as you mentioned, admiration, curiosity, vulnerability. And the middle grade years are full of big feelings. How does your book help kids make sense of these feelings and make sense of what they are experiencing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I really think it's important to acknowledge the role that gender plays when we talk about the way that people have conversations about their crushes when they're in that really young age of, 12, 13 and older. Because, Adriana and I both identified that it was very much a nod to our tween girlhood experience when we first started opening up our hearts to our friends and talking about some of the earliest forms of like romantic attraction that we experienced. But I know that a lot of men, they didn't necessarily have that boyhood experience where they were encouraged to talk about their feelings and connect to their friends in that vulnerable way. So I would really love for this book to help readers of all genders feel that talking about your feelings doesn't have to be intimidating, and there's nothing wrong with having messy emotions. It's pretty universally human. So that's just something that I hope readers can find in the playfulness of the book and the approachability of the book.
Well, I think that addresses my next question because I was going to say, who do you hope this book reaches? Who is this book for? And I know it said you said 8 to 14, but elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I think in addition to what Brianna said, which is like in making the book gender neutral, like in terms of the illustrations, when you look through the book, like it's very balanced, and we have like these fun characters that kind of weave their way through all the pages that I think are accessible to any gender. But we also hope outside of like kids that the book is fun for adults as well. Like I know personally, like as I navigate my dating life, like I pick this up and I look through it and I like resonate with some of the crush definitions in here and people who've, other adults in my life who have come and seen the book, like I find them doing the same thing. And we didn't necessarily expect that. And so it's really cool that this kind of transcends just being for kids because I think that's the nature of the art style, the universal nature of crushes. So I think we would agree, Brianna, that this book can really be for anyone, who's just looking for a way to like identify their feelings, find a way to express their feelings, and then hopefully make a really fun like milkshake, as an activity alongside that.
When I shared this book with my work team, it was so much fun because it immediately spurred a conversation where so many of my direct managers and people in leadership positions just started talking about like some of their first crushes when they were just like 14 years old. They were saying like, "Oh, I remember I used to have a picture of so and so in my locker," and just hearing people talk about like Orlando Bloom or whoever their celebrity crush was at the time, it just like really made me laugh. And I think that that just shows like anyone of any age, they can appreciate this phase of life. So, yeah, I just hope that this book can be enjoyed by anyone who enjoys talking about their crushes or even just making milkshakes.
What challenges do preteens face today that did not exist, say, 10 to 15 years ago, from your perspective?
Oh, you know, there are so many, unfortunately, I think. So I'm studying to become a licensed mental health counselor right now, a therapist. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this book, it really starts to tap into like the surface level of one of my bigger passions, which is tying art into mental health. I think right now, the internet and, you know, the rise of artificial intelligence and even the pandemic and its after effects have really created a very socially isolating world for a lot of young teens. And people compare themselves to images they see of models online. And there's a lot of strong, like, fears of missing out and comparing yourself. Mm-hmm. I think low self-esteem and depression and anxiety can be a big struggle for a lot of young people, but especially in that they don't always know that the feelings they're having are universal. And people can feel very alone with their feelings when they're spending a lot of time on their phones and on the internet. So I think it's really important to acknowledge that and to help young people feel connected and to feel like their emotions are normal.
Do you think that this book gives kids language for feelings before they have the words for them? Because that's what I got from it. And I thought, was it just me? Or because I felt like it gave, you know, kids a language to describe what they're feeling before they really had the actual words to describe them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad you said that. I think that's definitely our goal, is to create like a really accessible, super fun way for like kids to connect with those feelings, express those feelings. Like, not only can they read it and find themselves on the pages, then there's like a fun activity that they can do with their friends. And then like they can all do that together and talk about it. And it just kind of promotes that conversation. And as Brianna was mentioning, you know, when we share this book with other people, it brings up all these really interesting conversations. And even like both of us have found like, oh, I had no idea like you felt that way, or someone else had this experience, even as we were working on it together. So it really like is something that like helps build that connection, lessens those feelings of isolation, and just gives kids something to identify with. As you said, when it's so hard to like find the right words to like say how you're feeling, it can be really, really tough. And so like with all the different definitions of this book, like, and all the universal experiences of different types of crushes, we hope there's something in the book for like that everyone can identify with.
And that leads right into my next question, because I was, how did you decide what types of crush experiences to include to ensure that kids of all different backgrounds and personalities could see themselves? I mean, I think you did an excellent job of it, but I think that it seemed like you maybe you didn't, but it just seems like there was a focus to make sure all types of different kids and backgrounds and personalities could see themselves in these milkshakes and these crushes.
Oh,
was
yeah,
that
definitely
intentional? I mean,
yeah, we had a lot of conversations about inclusivity when we talked about the book and what types of feelings that we wanted to identify. And we were also trying to be very mindful of our target demographic and make sure that things didn't lean a little too adult in some experiences, because we didn't want this to be like a celebration of that phase in life when you're a young adult or when you're like a older teen and you're actually experiencing romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. So much as that very vulnerable phase when crushes kind of consume your life and you're really just kind of learning what it's like to experience those feelings for the first time. So when we sat down and chose some of the crush definitions to include in the book, we went back and forth a lot and thought, okay, is this hitting our target audience? Is this appropriate for them? Same thing with the milkshake recipes. We tried to keep everything very inclusive to different dietary restrictions and different allergies. And Adriana does an excellent, excellent job making things delicious while also considering different dietary restrictions that different readers might have. So huge kudos to her for that.
Well, which else? Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I think, Brianna, we probably spent close to a year just drafting out the flavors And we went through so many different drafts. Like, I think with a book like this, it can be really tempting and easy to just be like, here's a list of flavors, and we'll just, assign some things to it. And so we spent a lot of time sharing stories from our own lives to draw on inspiration for different types of crushes, listening to our friends, talking to them, getting their experiences to incorporate those different crushes into the book. So a lot of planning and like intentional thought went to pairing up the flavors and like the sort of the ultimate list of crushes that we included in the book. And we had a much longer list. So we had to trim it down and kind of pick the ones that we thought would reach the broadest audience.
Well, as far as emotional, early emotional misunderstandings, what early emotional misunderstandings do you see in teens and tweens that you would say adults overlook?
That's a great question. I think the book talks about a lemon crush, which I think we identified a little earlier. It's the most sour of all crush experiences. It is when you like someone who doesn't like you back. So I think when you're a young teen, rejection stings so hard. And of course, it still stings when you're an adult, but when you're a teen, and even before you've necessarily had a romantic relationship experience, you're kind of learning some of those coping skills that you're going to bring into managing relationships in the future because you're experiencing things like rejection for the first time, or even if it's not an outright rejection, it feels a lot like rejection. And, teenagers are so self-conscious and there's just such a vulnerability there and feeling like you're not wanted. So I would say that being mindful of just how vulnerable teens feel and how self-conscious they are, and just how much they want that attention, and how rejection, it might seem like a little thing to an adult if, the person's crushed and invite them to a dance or they find out they're dating someone else, but it feels world-shattering at the time when you're experiencing and you've never had an experience like that before.
What kind of feedback have you received from parents and teens who have read your book?
Everyone has been, so sweet and so positive. I feel so excited whenever somebody takes the time to read the book and let me know when they enjoyed it. I think one thing I really enjoy about the book is that we intentionally made it interactive. So we have a page in the book that allows people to like create their own custom crush and create their own custom milkshake. So I think I'm waiting to get more responses to that. I think a lot of kids are maybe a little bit nervous to like draw in their book or, actually like commit to like creating their own. But I would say that is what I'm most looking forward to is hearing what readers come up with, because I would love to spark creativity in them and hear like them say like, I didn't find a crush in this book I relate to, but here's my crush. It's a pickle crush or, whatever it might be. Like, I can't wait to see it.
Well, you all balanced inclusivity with age-appropriate storytelling. I think that's a good way to say it. How did you do that? Because that's a real challenge, whether you know it or not. I thought that you did an excellent job in that.
I think that as so I have a background as a children's book illustrator prior to creating this book, and I think when you're writing a story for a young audience, it helps to have life experiences interacting with whatever your target demographic is. So I have had a lot of different jobs in the past working with kids as an art teacher, as a special needs behavioral aide, as a nanny, and so many different types of jobs where I really got to support the development of kids as young as preschoolers and as old as, late high schoolers. And every single one of those ages comes with its own unique developmental phases and behaviors and thought processes. So I think that having those different experiences really helps me tune into what types of things are important to different readers at different ages. What do they think about? What are they fascinated with? What do they ask questions about? And I think for tweens, for a lot of tweens, their crush feelings, they can be like their whole world for a lot of tweens.
Well, did you consult any child psychologists or educators? It seems like you talked to teens and you had your own lived experiences yourselves in the development of the book.
We didn't actually talk to any child psychologists. I will say, though, that yeah, I think that having that interest in mental health counseling and having like some study of mental health counseling did come into play there because, you know, even if this book isn't going into a super deep level and talking about cognitive behavioral therapy techniques or anything like that, it really does kind of tap into the surface of naming your feelings and managing your emotions. So just kind of having some like underlying knowledge about that definitely played a big role.
And I would add something we were very intentional about was how we framed some of these crushes. I think a great example is our donut crush, because we want space for everyone in this book. And so the donut crush is where you do not have a crush on anybody. Originally in the original version of the book, Brianna, correct me if I'm wrong, is that just a vanilla crush?
Yeah, when we first started to draft it, we were like, okay, it could start with, you know, not having a crush on anyone, something like that. But yeah, at one point we were thinking of nixing that. But yeah, like to Adriana's point, we were like, we want people to feel included. We don't want anyone to feel like they don't get to have a milkshake just because they don't have a crush on somebody. We don't want anyone to feel left out like that and feel like there's something wrong with you if you don't necessarily have a crush.
Well, you did an excellent job. We're going to take a brief break, but before we do, would you just share with the listening audience how they can contact you, if they want to follow up?
Yeah, so you can follow the Crush Dictionary at the Crush Dictionary on Instagram and TikTok, or you can send an email to thecrushdictionary@gmail.com.
Okay, you're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are talking about crushes. We're going to take a brief break, but we will get right back at you, and I will talk with the authors.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. I am talking with Brianna Doss and Adriana Rush. They are co-authors of a very unique and thoughtful book, The Crush Dictionary and Recipe Book, a collection of crush-inspired definitions and milkshake recipes for teens. In your opinion, Adriana and Brianna, what is the emotional gap? And when I say the emotional gap, this age group struggles with the most that they have to deal with. When we're talking about tweens, what do you see as being that emotional gap? And how can humor, or how did you use humor to bridge that gap?
I think, you know, children really struggle to be kind to themselves. It's very easy to be self-critical and judgmental, like, why am I feeling these feelings? What's wrong with me? I mean, a lot of our audience that the book is intended for, it's their first time, as Brianna had mentioned earlier. You know, struggling with rejection and like these really tough feelings as adults, we're a little bit more hardened to. And so I think that is probably like the biggest thing that we're trying to approach with this book by adding in that humor. You know, it's when you make something more fun, it's more approachable, it feels less serious, it feels less scary. And so it just kind of takes away the negativity because there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. There's nothing wrong with feeling rejected. Disappointed doesn't reflect anything on you. And so I think when we put it through this lens, it kind of helps just make everything seem a little bit less scary.
Yeah, definitely. I think similar to in the therapy space, when a lot of therapists will pull out like the emotions wheel to kind of give people that language to identify their feelings, I think some people, they might notice themselves having emotions, but they don't know the language for it. They don't know how to identify it because maybe they've never tried talking about it and putting it into words and sharing it with someone else before. So to have it laid out in this kind of like funny, playful, colorful dictionary style, I think it's a way for people to go like, oh, hey, I think that's me. I relate to this. And then, you know, the idea of like encouraging you to open up to your friends and be like, hey guys, like I'm feeling like I have a crush on this person, and sometimes this person drives me crazy, but sometimes I love them. Is that weird? And it's like, no, a lot of people have that experience. We call that a salted caramel crush because it's salty and sweet. But yeah, like for people to know, like that happens,
That's
and it's
so cute.
confusing, but it's very, very relatable.
Well, recipes typically go step by step with instructions. Do you see parallels between the recipes and navigating emotions?
I love this question because I think there's something very cathartic about like following a recipe. It's one of the reasons I love to bake is I find it very like meditative in a sense. And so something I really love about this book is that you have your crush and then we give you an activity to kind of do something about it. You add all the ingredients in and you imagine like the ice cream represents this and you add a dash of spice that represents, you know, this aspect of the crush and you kind of like blend it all together and it gives you this physical manifestation of this feeling. And so I think part of the fun of this book is that it is a recipe book and does have that component to it that allows you to kind of express yourself.
And, you know, taking that analogy further, I was just thinking with recipes, a lot of times you have to accommodate the person you're serving a food to. So, similarly, when you are having like a relationship with somebody, you kind of have to adapt. There's a lot of collaboration there. So, Adriana might make a cupcake for someone, but that person is gluten-free. And so she has to adapt to that person's like eating style, their dietary restrictions. So, similarly, when you're in the world of romance, you kind of have to adapt to the person who you're talking to. And that's something I think that teens are kind of in the process of exploring for the first time.
You know, lots of times many adults struggle with naming emotions too. Do you see this book as helpful for grown-ups too?
Absolutely. I think no matter how old you are, learning to manage your emotions and name your feelings is something that a lot of people can relate to. I mean, earlier we talked about the role of gender and how, you know, not everyone has a boyhood experience where you're encouraged to talk about your feelings. Not every adult has that experience. There are definitely so many adults who grow up without the experience of having a space to process their feelings and recognize the emotions that they're having. I know that in therapy, some of the skills that people learn to identify is to pick up on those physical sensations that they're having in their body and kind of make a link. Oh, if I'm feeling this way, this is anxiety. Oh, if I'm feeling this way, this is depression. And to try to make that connection so that you're more self-aware. So I think even for adults to kind of pick up on this and to read some of the crush definitions and realize, like, oh, that's what I'm going through for sure.
Exactly. How can parents, because I see this happening, how can parents use this book as a conversation starter? You have suggestions of what they might do?
Yeah, I think like this book is great for parents to like do as an activity with their kids, and that parent can share a story, you know, from the pages that of a crush that they had, and then, you know, have their kid flip through and then they can make milkshakes together. One of the things that really struck me when we were finalizing the book is I shared it with my dad, and he actually like looked through the pages and like shared a story with me. And that's just not something I would expect, you know, from my dad. And that's not something we've ever talked about before, but that was a very powerful moment because like the book was a conversation starter about something we never talked about. And so we hope like that this book can, you know, have the same experience for other parents because I think that's just like such a great thing and it's such a great mechanism built into the book.
I saw your book as being really just visually vibrant. I guess that'd be the best way to describe it. What's your process for designing characters and milkshake flavors? Because the characters.
Yeah, it was so much fun to illustrate. I mean, what is more fun than drawing food? Or at least that's how I feel as an illustrator. It's one of my favorite things to draw is food because food is so colorful. I've been an artist my whole life, and for the longest time, I wanted to be a children's book illustrator. And right out of college, I knew I wanted to illustrate children's books, but I had no idea what that process looked like. But I just immediately started networking with artists and authors and trying to learn the ropes of what the publishing industry looked like. And, once I kind of learned about self-publishing options, that really like opened up like a whole world of opportunity for me. And I had to teach myself a lot because unlike established publishing house routes where somebody else handles like the interior file design and the cover design, and they really like take over. You're kind of steering the ship yourself as a self-published author and illustrator, and you have to learn everything. You have to learn like what is storyboarding look like, and how do you convert that into a book, and then how do you convert that file into a file that a printer is going to accept. And so, I had to learn a lot about that process, but just through trial and error, I found, a method that works and how you can self-publish if you're an illustrator who likes telling stories. So it really starts off the way most illustration starts, which is just a very, very rough draft, just, pencil and paper. And then from there, I convert it to my digital drawing tablet, and then I can refine it and redraw it if it's just not working. And then I can convert that into some kind of tool where I can lay out the page and just see how it all looks together once I'm storyboarding it. So, but yeah, the process, it just starts very simple, like any idea, where I'm really just sketching. I'm sketching on a piece of paper and it's messy, but that's really the fun part.
Were there any illustrations that were especially fun or challenging to create?
I love the Candy Crush page because it is particularly colorful, and there are gummy bears and M&Ms and like a heart-shaped lollipop just like popping out of the page, and like the whole border of the page is colorful. And a Candy Crush is a crush on a fictional character. It's like a very colorful crush. It says, with endless books and films to consume, this crush comes in every flavor. It's meant to be very much like create your own custom crush because fictional characters are very broad and that can really kind of be whatever you want it to be. So, yeah, this one was super fun to draw. I absolutely love drawing colorful foods.
Well, how does color and shape and expression help to convey the emotion?
Yeah, I think that when you are writing about a topic like crushes, you want everything to be very vibrant, right? So when you're having romantic, jittery feelings, everything feels exciting. It feels new. It's kind of like when you have a new crush on someone, it's almost like the world feels brighter and more saturated. Everything just feels like so much louder and more fun and more colorful. But then, of course, like when you're going through different types of emotional experiences, like the opposite effect can happen. So I think when you're illustrating any kind of story, paying attention to tone and color is really important because you want the reader to be tuned into that color palette that goes along with the tone of the story. So everything in this book, of course, was very, very intentionally vibrant.
Okay. What's your favorite recipe? Do you have a favorite recipe in the book? If so, what is
Adriana, do you want to go first?
Oh, that is a really hard question. I think I am going to go with, oh man, this is hard. I'm going to go with the cookie dough crush. That's one of my favorites because it took us a while to figure out how we wanted to do it because cookie dough is not safe to eat raw. And so we were figuring out a way to make sure we could put in a recipe that was safe. And I love this one because it's your first crush. There's something special about your first crush. Much like discovering the sweet taste of raw cookie dough, your first crush will become a delightful core memory. And the illustration on this one is just really adorable. I mean, I have to praise Brianna here. Like, the illustrations are what make this book. Like, they are just like super, super cute. They really like build the core personality of the book and are a huge part of what makes it so approachable. But yeah, I love the thematic on the cookie dough crush. It tastes really good. And we spend a lot of time like refining the recipe and finding the best way to like really make sure the flavor comes through.
That's a great answer. The cookie dough, it's like who doesn't remember their first crush? It's just, it's just one of those things that sticks with you. I'm gonna go with, I mean, there's so many in here that I like, but I'm gonna go with the Rocky Road milkshake, which is a crush on your sibling's friend. It can be exciting to see your crush in your house. If you're lucky, sometimes they might pull you into their games or conversations. You're always looking for opportunities to flirt, but that isn't always easy under the nose of a sibling. If your crush was ever discovered, it would be a rocky road for you. And I love the milkshake flavor of Rocky Road because I absolutely love just like chunks of almonds and chocolate and marshmallows in a chocolate milkshake. It's just one of my favorite things. But I also appreciate that this milkshake recipe comes with an alternative for people who have nut allergies. So we definitely talked about that and definitely trying to be inclusive to those readers with different dietary needs. So chopped pretzel rods also taste super, super good in a Rocky Road milkshake.
In these last few minutes, we don't have much time left. I guess about 4 minutes. What did creating this book teach you about your own artistic voice?
For me, this book got me really excited about connection, I think. Connecting with like a celebration of the preteen experience, that really special and vulnerable phase in life. And I've just really, really enjoyed connecting with people when they open up this book. And like Adriana shared with her dad, just like telling her a story, I've noticed that's a reaction that a lot of people give me is it reminds them of an experience they've had and they just start sharing with me. So this book definitely fosters connection.
Yeah, something for me that I loved since I was, predominantly focused on building out the recipes is, I actually own a bakery out here in Seattle, Moonflower Bakery, and so I typically make much more like elaborate high-end desserts. And so it was really fun to like go back to something a little bit more simpler, like a milkshake recipe, which has its own complications, right? How, with very few ingredients, how can I evoke this memory, right? That matches the crush. How can we evoke that feeling with a very simple like palette of flavors? And that was a really fun challenge and a really fun like end result to create.
If you imagine a child who's read the book years from now, looking back on your book, what do you hope they remember or carry with them?
Honestly, just a feeling of fun, like the fun element of the book. I just hope that readers can be like, oh my gosh, I loved that book. It was so much fun.
So, what does the future hold as far as creative projects? What is the next for each of you?
Okay, so since I'm a licensed mental health counselor, I definitely think about this a lot, how I can tie those two worlds together. I would absolutely love for my next book project to be something that takes concepts like building healthy relationships, managing self-esteem, building healthy communication skills, a lot of things that you can learn about in really dense textbooks, like dialectical behavior therapy techniques. But I'd love to take those tools and make them just super easy to understand with really simple vocabulary and then illustrate it and just make that super accessible to young readers. That's something that I feel very passionate about. So when I'm looking forward to the future, that's what I think is next for me.
And then for myself, I think this book really tapped into my love of like creating food that evokes certain like imagery, feelings. And so with my bakery, a lot of the desserts I make are inspired by fandom. So places in books, movies, and TV shows. So very classic examples like Butterbeer from Harry Potter. And so I really like making desserts that remind people of things that they love. And so this like working on the Crush Dictionary like really helps me think of a lot of different ways to kind of tap into that and explore that space more. So that's something I'm really looking forward to doing.
So I hear you saying, if I'm, you could expand into pizzas and smoothies and smoothie relationships. I don't know. Am I hearing you right? I mean, I'm just giving an example, but am I hearing you correctly?
The Crush Dictionary Part Two for adults.
Yeah. I
We'll see.
mean,
We'll see.
I see it. I feel it. It's definitely there. But I do want to extend my sincere appreciation. As you probably can tell, I loved the book. I thought it was so cute and so well done and very
Appreciate
thoughtful.
that.
You know, I thought you did an excellent job dealing with a difficult topic for tweens, but one that's there and we all need to address. So again, my thanks to you. And my listening audience, I guess it's time out. What a delightful and insightful conversation I've had with Brianna Doss and Adriana Rush. I do appreciate you all. You seem to truly understand the emotional roller coaster of middle grade life. Your book blends humor and heart and creativity to help kids make sense of their feelings in the most delicious ways. Thank you for joining us today. To my listening audience, much appreciation for your time and your ear. Until next time, tune in, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. If you would like to participate in the 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Team at wfsu.org.